As we let them go, I'm going to encourage the rest of you, if you would, take out your message notes that you'll find inside your worship guide. Or, excuse me, you should have those from last week. If you don't have a set and you're new with us, please get the attention from the usher and they'll help you. Get a copy of those. We take the scripture ever so very, very seriously. This morning, I'd like all of you to think about G-O-A-T. Goat. It is my hope, and it's been my prayer, that you're all going to become a goat. Now, I'm not talking about those cute little things that God makes and make the noises that they do. I'm not talking about their behavior. G-O-A-T is an acrostic I put together. And it stands for greatest of all times. Greatest of all times. Say that with me. Greatest of all times. And with what I want to go with that is the love of God is the greatest of all times. So I want GHCC to be known as the church that is a goat. They share this wonderful love of the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest of all time, this love of God, not only with each other, but with the people they come in contact with. They have learned the great commandment that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that annoying person next to us, our neighbor as ourselves. We not only heard, we listened, and we understand when Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciples by the way you love one another. And I want you to love one another exactly as I have loved you, he's told us. So we're looking at this uncommon, life-giving love. God's love is a love that is inclusive. It isn't excluding any persons. People exclude themselves, but he is willing to include all peoples. If you turn to page 2 of your notes, we learned last week about those seeds of love that'll never die. The love of Christ that has been poured in the hearts of real born-again believers, not the false ones, but the real born-again believers, we learn that those seeds are there and they're there forever. Just as we read about those seeds being found 2,000 years old in the coffin that they found in Israel. And when they watered those seeds, some of them began to bear fruit. A date palm began to grow. So this love that we have received when we came to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, it is something that we can't get rid of. I mean, we can't lose it, okay? As you give it away, it's replaced. You can never get rid of all of it. So don't worry about that. Continue to love people because this love is eternal. It's obvious, I think, to all of us that America is divided. We have so many things that divide us. But likewise, the church is divided. And the last place any division should be seen is in Christ's bride. Because all the Christians, the real believers, they have been filled with God the Holy Spirit. As we read in Romans 5:5, we have received this love, this unquenchable, unconditional love into ourselves. The problem with the church is, and that's us, every human being who's been born again, the problem is we don't share this love. And far too many people who profess to be Christians, the love of Christ is subdued. And some, you wouldn't even know that they're really Christians. They would rather be complaining about people in the church. They would rather everyone know about everyone else's failures. I'm glad we don't see that much at GHCC, but it does happen, doesn't it? Some of us are far more willing to gossip than we are to love. And we have not been called to gossip. Hey, Melvin, could you see it, dude? All right. When I see people I love, and it's been a while, it's just kind of wonderful to see them. So, where was I? It's in the midst of love. You know, far too many of us need to be letting go of the sinful part. You know, that gossip, that comes out of the fleshliness. That doesn't come out of our spirit that's been born and made anew in Christ. That comes out of the flesh. And ladies, gentlemen, kids, when you start hearing people mouthing off about someone else, you need to tell them, I don't want to listen to this. I want you to be quiet. Don't say it the way I just said it. You get my point, though. You know, some believers, they are so thrilled to be able to go tell another believer about the shortcomings of another believer. You know, there are some tremendous Bible teachers that I know. And if you go online, people are writing them up all the time. Oh, they're great, they're great, they're great. And then you've got these other people over here in this other camp. He's a snot. He's really bad. He's a wicked teacher. And they want you to know that. But they don't know these people. Not personally. They're just believing. Well, we were away on vacation. Kathy received this annoying letter about BSF, Bible Study Fellowship. Somebody was writing them up because they have this brand new study that they're doing. And they bring other Bible teachers in that are being quoted, but they're calling some of these other Bible teachers heretics and so forth and so on. BSF is a great Bible study for men and for women. And I can tell you this, that they are checking on their sources before they're going to write up a whole new course curriculum concerning it to teach other men and other women so that they grow up in Christ Jesus. The church has got to stop being so worldly. Let's be lovers. Let us share the love of Christ. Let's seek others' best and greatest good at our expense. Let's seek their greatest good and let all the rest of this stuff go by. If we have a sinner in our midst that you're aware of, then you go to them. We're not dismissing sin. You go to them, but you go to them in love. You go to them in love. I saw in the LA Times this morning, really early. They get up early. And it said this about Senator John McCain. It doesn't matter what you think about his politics, okay? It's the words that really struck me. He was real. There was an authenticity. And family, it's important that we're real in Christ. And we have an authenticity about us in being like him. We're to be imitators of him, as we see in Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. We've looked at that passage time and again. But I'll be darned if we don't want to live it out. We are to be imitators of God, and the context is to live love, to live this agape love. We are to do that because he considers this an offering and a wonderful sacrifice on our behalf, because that's what his son taught us and lived out before us as an example. Folks, some of us have not been merciful and loving unconditionally. But as you allow the Holy Spirit to continue working in you, as you show love, you are showing those around you what he is really like. You're awesome, Lord. But they're not going to pick up on his awesomeness as we're out there bad-mouthing people. It's like that person who I closed with last week that said, if you want me to believe in your Redeemer, you need to live more like your Redeemer. That's coming from the lost. That's coming from the lost. When you are merciful, understanding, accepting, then you can bring healing and new life into the presence of other people. And they just might sense that as the favor of God upon them and receive Christ into their lives. The church, at least in my conversations with the unchurched, is perceived for what we are against. We seem to have done very well in telling people what we don't like. Now we need to tell them what we're for. We need people to know that we are really for our Heavenly Father. He's terrific. We're really for his Son. He's awesome. We're really for the Holy Spirit. He puts up with so much junk, at least in my life. And I cause him pain. People need to know what we are for. Some of us, we're just, it was amazing to be in with the prayer group this morning, because Gary began with a passage about bitterness, a root of bitterness. And it really needs to be rooted out. There should be no bitterness among the people who make up GHCC. I'm not saying we haven't been through terrible things. Some have been through, we feel like we've been to hell and back. But we need to be forgiving as we've been forgiven, family. We have to stop bad-mouthing people. Peter, remember in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, and we think around verse 22? Man, it just really stands out to me when he went to the Lord and he said, how many times should I forgive this person? You know, it doesn't say what this person's done, but how many times should I forgive him? You know, the Pharisees say up to three times and then, you know, write them off. But seven times, Lord? The Lord looks at Peter and he says, no. You remember? Remember what he said? 70 times 7. 490 times. He's not talking about at the end of 490 times, now you can write them off. Now you can say whatever you want. Now you can add that root of bitterness, you know, water it, keep it fertilized. He's not saying that. He's saying an infinite number, you are to forgive them. We're to love. Now trust me. I have in my mind gone out in my mind and dug holes in the Mojave Desert, 3 feet wide, 7 feet long, and 6 feet deep, and I have buried people out there in my mind. Family, I know it's not intended really to be cute. I have murdered that person in my heart. I have killed them. And I've had to ask for forgiveness multiple times. That's not love. That's not what the Lord has poured in me. The question there on page 4 of your notes is, are you ready to say to people, if you have good morals or bad morals, I am still going to love you as Jesus Christ has loved me unconditionally? Because that's where every Christian should be. Every born-again believer. If you're not clean and sober, I am going to love you. Yes or no? Be honest before the Lord. If you're strung out and addicted, I'm going to love you. Yes or no? If you're heterosexual or homosexual, I'm going to love you. Yes or no? If you're a Republican or a Democrat, I'm going to love you. Yes or no? If you're black, white, brown, etc., I'm going to love you. Yes or no? If you're Muslim, Jewish, Hindu, etc., I'm going to love you. Yes or no? Jesus said, look at John's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 35. You see it there? Now, we're going to read it aloud. But as you read it aloud, listen to what your tongue is saying. Open the ears and the mind and your heart. Let's read it aloud together. Our Heavenly Father is going to speak to us. Let's read it aloud. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. If you have love for one another. Notice he didn't say, they'll know you're my disciples if you really act spiritual. He didn't say, they're going to know you're my disciples because, man, you have just memorized a ton of scripture. I'm not saying that these things are things you shouldn't be doing. He's not saying that people are going to know that you're my disciples because of any of those kinds of things. They will know that you're my real believers, followers of me, by the way that you seek the very best, the greatest good for other people. Then they'll know. That is the mark, the branding of a Christian. Our Heavenly Father is not Hispanic. He's not white. He's not black. He's not Korean. He's not Chinese. He's not Japanese. He's not Indian. He's not Arabic or anything else. He made them all. He's spirit. He made us all, and he loves us all. He sent a son into the world for us all. His son went to the cross for us all. Look at John, 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Look real carefully here. You may want to take some notes. John begins by saying, beloved. He's saying, those of you who are the object of my love. Beloved, let us love one another. Let us be kind. Let us be patient. Let us not be proud or rude or arrogant. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves, whoever never loses their faith, doesn't insist on their own way. Whoever is always hopeful. Whoever loves has been born of God, born again. New creation in Christ Jesus. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Gnosko. Very pithy, pregnant term. Knows God. As a husband and a wife know each other. Great intimacy. Knowledge that goes beyond the normal. They know God, these people who have been born again. Anyone who does not love does not know gnosko, doesn't know God. Do you know Christians or people who say they're Christians? And you got to really be looking for love. Should be exuding from them. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this is love. God was made manifest among us. Well, how's that? That God sent his only Son into the world. He came into the world to save sinners. He didn't come into the world to judge us. He came into the world this time to save sinners. That God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the perfect, satisfactory, sacrificial sacrifice for us, for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, if God's love was like this, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. And it keeps no record of being wronged. It keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Love will last forever. God's love poured out in your heart will last forever. His love towards you will last forever. This is the love that is unconditional and life-changing. That is so uncommon, that needs to be seen more and more within the confines of the bride of Christ, us towards one another. I wonder what some people's relationships would be if they stopped judging people and started loving people, going to them and sharing. This is really annoying to me. So please, let's talk about this. Will you pray with me right now about this annoying thing? Pray for me. Our Heavenly Father is reaching out with his love to Muslims and Jews and Hindus and Christian cults and atheists through you and through me. Folks, we do not need to see eye to eye with someone to love them unconditionally. Did you see eye to eye with God when he saved your soul? He and I did not see eye to eye when he saved my soul. But he saved me unconditionally anyway. One of the things I love about GHCC is we're made up of Asians, Middle Easterns, Indians, blacks, whites. We're made up of the well-off, the poor, Very poor. Old, young, Democrats, Republicans, Dodger fans, Angel fans. This is what heaven's going to be made up of, folks. You ever heard the poem, Heaven's Surprise? Let me share it with you. I was shocked, bewildered, and confused when I entered heaven's door, not by the beauty, nor the lights, or the decor. It was the people in heaven that made me sputter and gasp. The sinners, the cheaters, the liars, ooh, and the trash. There stood the kid from second grade that stole my lunch money twice. Next to him was my neighbor, who never said anything nice. Herb, who I thought would be rotting in hell, was sitting on cloud nine and doing quite well. I asked Jesus, "What's the deal? I'd love to hear your take. How'd all these sinners get up here? It must have been a mistake. And why is everyone so quiet, so somber? Please, give me a clue." Jesus said, "It's because they're all in shock and never thought they'd be seeing you." Where would we all be without the mercy of our Heavenly Father? Where would you be without His unconditional, uncompromising, uncommon, sacrificial love? We didn't deserve it then. We don't deserve it now. But please do enjoy it. We've all made mistakes disobeying our Heavenly Father. He is asking all of us who are believers to show this love to other people around us. We are not to look at them through eyes of judgment, but eyes of mercy. Again, as I said earlier, we are not dismissing people who have made the choice to live in sin, but we go to them in love. If we are judgmental, holier than thou, that is not going to help them move forward. That is conditional, common love that I spoke about earlier. Conditional love requires that you meet all my demands, and then I'll love you, maybe. Our Heavenly Father freely gave us His mercy. Now He says, "I want you to give that which I gave freely to others." I saw this story about a young couple with their baby boy, a year old, and they're having breakfast in a diner. And as they were eating, the little boy started smiling with a really wide smile and started banging on the tray in front of him. He was getting more excited by the moment. His mother turned around to see what was causing the son's excitement. There was an elderly man sitting at the table directly behind them. The man looked like he was homeless. His hair was disheveled. He hadn't shaved. Clothes were very dirty. And if you got close to him, he had an odor about him. He said to the little boy very loudly, "How you doing, little buddy?" Everybody in the diner turned to see what was going on. The mom was a little embarrassed, and she just simply nodded at the man, then turned back around to her table and tried to get her little boy's attention away from him. But the man kept talking to him and playing peekaboo. I love playing peekaboo with my little grandkids. The little boy was being totally entertained and really taken by this man. Instead of just smiling, the baby was now cackling, laughing out loud. The parents just bowed their heads and tried to eat their food as fast as they could. They were finally through with their breakfast, and it was raining outside. The husband went to get the car to pull it up front, pull it close to the front door. The mom picked up her baby and headed toward the cashier, wanting to pay that bill as quickly as possible. Under her breath, she sang, "Lord, help me to get out of here without any more commotion." But about that time, the homeless man got up and stood directly behind them. When the little boy saw the man, he put out both arms and leaned away from his mother and reached out to the man. The little boy was pushing himself away from his mom, and before you knew it, he was in the arms of a total stranger. From all appearances, it looked like the little boy and homeless man were old friends. At one point, the little boy laid his head on the homeless man's shoulder. The homeless man just closed his eyes, taking it all in. His hands, dirty, rough, patted the little boy softly on his back. The mother stood and watched in all amazement. After a couple of moments, he handed the little boy back and said gently, "You take care of that little boy. You take care of him now," she said with a lump in her throat. "I will." She walked slowly toward the diner's door with tears running down her cheeks and said, "Father God, please forgive me." She had just witnessed unconditional love shown through the innocence of a baby. The baby didn't see the man's messy hair. He didn't notice his disheveled clothes. Didn't see his dirty hands. The baby saw a man through eyes of love. The mother and father saw the man through eyes of judgment. My prayer for me is, let me see people through the eyes of a baby. Better yet, through the very eyes of our Heavenly Father. How are you doing? Is your heart full of mercy? Are you giving people the benefit of a doubt? Are you in love going and sharing with that annoying person, that bitterness that's been welling up in your own heart that you don't deserve to have? Christ already paid for all of that. I remember hearing a story about a man who attended a very formal, high-end church for the very first time. He was wearing jeans, boots, and a cowboy hat. And he walked right down the aisle and he sat in the third row, kind of like where Gary and Marsha are. The congregation was aghast. At the close of the worship celebration, they went to their pastor in great numbers to let him know they really didn't like that guy coming in dressed in a cowboy hat and boots and jeans. And he needs to get a hold of that man before he gets out the back of the church. So the pastor did, and he told him, "You know, the next time you come back to this church, I want you to do one thing. I want you to talk to God and ask him what he wants you to wear." That next Sunday, that man showed up. He is wearing a cowboy hat, boots, and a jeans. And the pastor saw him before the service started. So he walked up to him and he said, "I gave you one thing to do, and that was to go ask God what you should be wearing to come to my church." And he says, "Pastor, I did." And he told me he didn't know what I should wear because he's never been here. My point, family, is Don't judge people by their exterior. Don't judge people by what someone else says about them unless you know that precisely yourself because you met them. Everyone needs this uncommon, this wonderful love that can change lives. Everyone needs it. Jesus hears the message is clear from the Holy Spirit to us. A follower of Christ who may listen to this on a CD or go on our website and listen to it, you need to understand that we are to love people unconditionally. We are to take Jesus Christ serious and his Father serious and to listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit who takes this loving thing serious because it is the greatest command that he has given. And if we're going to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we should be lovers of people. They need to know. People need to know we love them and we love Christ. Amen. We need to be obedient. A demonstration of our love to our Heavenly Father. If you're not a follower of God's Son, Jesus Christ, and some of this will make any sense to you, but I think you can see the wonderful love that God has for you as a non-believer and for us as his kids. And he won't take that love away. You may reject it, but that love stands. And if you should reject it all the way to the day of the great white throne judgment, it won't be like you forgot it. You will simply be strongly standing in the presence of a mighty loving judge, the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave you every opportunity. You said no. And there will be severe consequences. And it's known as the lake of fire, where one will be tormented for all of eternity, forever and ever. Jesus wants you to know how much he loved you. He went to the cross and he paid for all your sins, all of them. You need not bring them, dredge them up and remind yourself of them. Some of us have done some really horrific things. He forgave you from the cross as he forgave me. He's so good. I just want to encourage you to seek him out. He's wonderful. Get it? Good. Let's pray. Father, oh, here I stand, not simply among other sinners saved by grace, but you know me to be one of the archetypal sinners. And I am ever so grateful to you for sending your son into my life and forgiving me for all of the terrible, terrible things I have thought, said, oh, and done. Thank you for such a wonderful love. Now, my Lord, I do pray that this love that you poured out so wonderfully into the hearts of so many here, that they will be grieved to hold on to any of it, that they can't love others enough, they can't love you enough, but need to be finding ways to be giving it up, to bless other people, to be an encourager in the life of other people, my Lord. Please bring these things about. in the lives of all of my church family. I love him so much, my Lord. I love him so much. So please, may we find ourselves going to people who need to see us come to them, because they've heard through the grapevine we have spoken ill of them. And we're coming to ask for forgiveness. They still may be an annoying person, but we can talk about that now. And we can do it without being judgmental. We know what your love is all about. So please, my Lord. GHCC, among so many, have shared with me, it is such a loving church family. And it is. But may we continue to pursue this love. May we continue to grow in it. And may people be blessed enormously by my church family, and hopefully by me. For we ask these things in the name of him who is the perfect example of love, your Son, our Lord and Master, our Savior, Jesus. Amen.